Blog Talk Radio.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
You've got to forgive us because we are not professional radio talk show hosts, but I am a professional revolutionary.
This is Citizen Zayla Shakir.
I'd like to start off by reading the BPPRM platform, which is the BPPRM is both an organization and a movement. Our primary function is twofold. One, to put an end to the pipeline that facilitates the mass incarceration of our people. The second part of our platform is we are ready to stabilize our communities. We're dedicated to eradicate the black criminal mind mentality without working with the government or the cops. We believe that our young people can be saved. We believe that we are the ones who will save them. But unlike the present prison rights movement, we have a criteria that must be met. For example, we are not going to spend our energy or our resources on those black prisoners who refuse to relinquish their criminal gangster mentality. They will have to earn our support. We will not become a platform for sending brothers and sisters back to our communities that are bent on destroying it. We will provide a number of programs that will prepare the black prisoners for release and continue that support upon release. We as a people can no longer sit back and allow this government to politically and economically exploit the conditions of our community. We want our imprisoned people to know that we have their backs, that upon release we will be helping them, that we will use all our energies and resources to make sure that they're productive, both in our community and in this nation as a whole. We do not believe that we have to sacrifice our separate beliefs. We don't have to compromise them, but we do have to set them aside to work as one unit. And with that, I'd turn this over to my sister Zinzele, and she can go over some more of our BPP RM platform.
First, I wanted to start with a little bit of history of the prison right movement. Black people have been an influential force in prison rights and criminal injustice reform as early as World War II. Okay? In 1960, incarceration was termed as the new Jim Crow. Besides criminal activity, you must remember that at that time, our people were incarcerated for refusing to serve in the armed forces, swimming in white pools, trumped up on drug charges, as well as locking away our revolutionary leaders. Now, that brings us to the prison rights movement. Okay, November 3rd, 1970, Folsom State Prison here in our state of California instituted a work strike. Inmates refused to leave their cells looking for better treatment. During this time, they released the Manifesto of Demands and Anti-Oppression Platform. This document continues to be used in strikes across the country today. Due to the black prison rights movement during the 70s, it led to the 1983 civil suit against prisons that allow prisoners to this day to file a civil complaint if their civil rights are violated. We did that. Even with their hard work, though, and advancement, there were still mistakes of the 60s and 70s that we learned from as well. As Brother Muhammad mentioned earlier, we're here to shut this school-to-prison pipeline and the prison industrial slave complex down. Now, some of you may not be familiar with the school-to-prison pipeline. Okay, a little history. Back in the 1990s, schools funneled black children into the criminal justice system. Their fear of crime resulted in a crackdown on school behavioral issues that began to mandate suspension and expulsion for bad behavior. However, the determination of how children were disciplined for these behaviors were at the discretion of the governing school board. They inserted police officers into the schools, which ended up as just a way to outsource that discipline to the local police department. Okay, in 2010-2012 school year, there were 1 in 6 students in public school systems that were black, yet accounted for 1 in 3 arrests in schools. Black students are suspended 3 times more frequently than white students. In this, parents have been criminalized with fines and county jail time, irregardless of the reason for why their child was late to school. Schools in the black communities are underfunded, with teachers that are not as prepared as well as their counterparts in more affluent areas. There is more money spent right now in the prison system than in the school system. Correctional officers, what, they get paid $70,000 a year. Teachers, $30,000 a year on average. Now, the Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement, BPPRM, we believe we're responsible for how we react to racial oppression and systematic oppression. We study and analyze issues that impact and affect our community. provide solutions with actionable programs to benefit the community. We intend to work with other black people in our community to help our community. We are not going to operate and work with those in the same system that systematically, socially, and economically have exploited and continue to exploit us. Know that our members' religious affiliation is irrelevant, as it is divisive to the community. We will not use the Willie Lynch methods on ourselves. We're looking at providing knowledge of self to the youth, as well as parolees re-entering the community by correcting his story and re-educating with accurate history. We are looking for individuals to give time. No matter whether it's 20 minutes, 2 hours, we have a place for everyone to use their skills. We use the skill sets of our people in the community to provide our brothers and sisters to best utilize our strengths. It doesn't matter whether you're a blue-collar, white-collar worker, we are a collective, and we all have something to offer. There are programs we would like to institute, the Marcus Garvey Study Group, to provide education to our brothers and sisters for accountability and responsibility for your actions and what you put into the community. Programs to address restitution, poverty, drugs, gang violence, illiteracy, lack of unity, and lack of ownership. We may not have gotten here on our own, but we make the decision on what we do with what we have now going forward. We're looking at mental health calling lines for our youth and parolees who may suffer with issues like PTSD. Education to develop professional and social behaviors to help our brothers and sisters learn how to operate within the current business environment. Now, there are some existing programs in our community that are currently working. I'll let Brother Muhammad speak on this.
There's several CBOs or community-based organizations here in the Bay Area that I'm affiliated with, and one of those that I happen to really advocate for is Open Gate, which I'm under contract to work for, and our motto is to educate, motivate, lead, and inspire, and it's basically from incarceration to graduation. Through Open Gate, parolees, probationers, and formerly incarcerated individuals gain the skills to reenter society and their community through educational and vocational training. Our participants enter local community colleges, and the California university system to gain associate and bachelor degrees, or to enter training courses in skilled trades leading to full-time employment, a living wage, and a fulfilling career. With our low recidivism rate, which I'll tell you now, last year we had a recidivism rate for the Open Gate participants was 6%. This year we're on track to at 0%, meaning anybody that's entered our program has not returned to prison. Our participants learn to become successful on the outside of prison walls. Open Gate provides a welcoming, structured environment that sees dignity and potential in our clients and strives to encourage and facilitate each client to reach his or her best possible future. Whatever your goal is, we will help you reach it. Some of the services that we provide and opportunities are school support with college enrollment, which means we take our participants from the moment they enter campus. We walk them through every part of the process of enrolling in college. We walk them through the financial aid department. We walk them through the counseling department. We take them hand in hand. We provide transportation to school. We provide all their books, school supplies. We have a degree and certificate program. We also have a partnership in that certificate program with BMW. So if you go through that program, you automatically become a certified BMW tech upon completion. We offer transfer to a four-year university. We have a job readiness program with job placement assistance. We have interview and resume workshops. We have on-campus mentors, counseling, discussion and support groups, community leadership. If you don't have a GED, we'll assist you with one. We also provide a stylist session with wardrobe for opportunity to make sure that you have our participants have clothes to go to job interviews. And what we require is for them to be formally incarcerated, enroll as a full-time student, attend all classes, provide us with progress reports. They must have a positive attitude and be a team player, attend our weekly support discussion and meeting groups on campus, and must be an advocate for us so that we can continue this work and have a commitment to completing the classes. The majority of Open Gate alumni become members of the Open Gate alumni committed to continued success for the program and will motivate and inspire future Open Gate students. Open Gate students represent Open Gate Incorporated, the community, and within Alameda County Parole and Probation System to build awareness of the program and outreach to potential students. Now, a point I want to clarify is that we do partnership with the parole office, and it's not a partnership that they're our friends or they're our buddies, but in California, those that return on parole are mandated to attend the parole and community training session, which is the PAC meeting. At that meeting, all the community-based organizations attend those and offer their services to the parolees that are returning. So that is the extent of our partnership with them, that we attend those trainings, and I myself present Open Gate, and we recruit our participants from that pool and bring them into the college setting. And with that, I'd like to open up the lines. I know we have probably my brother Abdul Shakur somewhere lurking in the wing. I know he has something to say on this movement.
Either that or any other call that we want to take in, any questions at this time?
Absolutely. Sister K-Mac. I just want to remind everyone, you do have some callers here. If they would like to speak or ask a question, just press the number 1 so I can see you and open the mic for you. And looking at some programs that you're talking about, the Open Gate one, I'm noticing. Pardon? Hello?
What was that, Sister K?
Okay. The Open Gate program, I noticed that across the nation, there are a lot of programs that are opening up the colleges to former prisoners. Do you think that this is going to expand across the nation, or do you think that these are just programs that are just being tried out?
Well, actually, our program is the model that most of them are modeling themselves after.
Okay.
Open Gate is the only pre-parole to university pipeline that's open at this moment. But because of the low enrollment rates for a lot of community colleges,
mm-hmm.
they're seeing formerly incarcerated prisoners as their prime target to keep their funding going.
Okay.
So I see it as something that's going to be expanding. Actually, I know when I left behind the walls myself that they were expanding inside. I know San Quentin has a university on campus where they have the professors coming in because, like
right.
I said, they have a low enrollment rate right now nationwide. So, of course, wherever they see a fit for them financially, they're going to capitalize on. So it'll be twofold for us. They'll be capitalizing on us, and we'll be utilizing them and their services. I hope that answers your question for you.
It's the model that Brother Muhammad has set going forward is also something that we intend to institute here in Sacramento, California, as well.
Okay. Is it difficult to implement that kind of a program?
So it's just a matter of reaching out to individuals.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brother.
Actually, it all depends on the administrations of colleges. It's
okay.
Easier if you have someone in the administration of a college that has a penchant for our segment of society, which you can always find an old radical somewhere on a college campus, because that's where most of them matriculated to. So usually it's easier to set up an on-campus club through maybe a faculty member.
African Studies Program, Black Student Union.
Yes, that way, like that, yeah. Like you have the Moja program in most community colleges. Actually, I just put a proposal in to put a workshop together for the Emoja, the National Emoja Conference, which will be in Riverside sometime in November. I'll give you the exact date later. And I'm going to do a workshop on becoming a walking role model.
Okay.
Basically making education look like most of us made drug dealing look back in the day.
Exciting.
Because
okay.
Well, it started as an epiphany on the yard a few years ago, when so many people would come and tell me about things in my past and how they would look, and I was just thinking, I'm like, that really wasn't that cool, but I made it look cool. So I thought one day, I said, well, maybe if I did the right thing, the same people that watched me do the wrong thing and thought that was cool would see the right thing and think the right thing is cool. So we're going to base that and turn that into a workshop so we can start to eradicate that criminal gangster mentality and mindset. Any other good questions you got for us, Sister K?
I always got questions. because I'm loving what I hear. The college for those that are enrolled, is this free or the funds raised?
Actually, the one great thing that Obama did before he left is he got the Pell Grants reinstated. So through our program, we automatically sign our participants up for the Cal Grant, which is administered by the Pell Grant, which is $6,095 a year, which equals out to $1,500 per semester. Then they have a thing called the Bog Warner Waiver here in California, and that Bog Warner Waiver actually pays for the classes themselves. And we have another program on campus, the EOPS program, that actually pays for all the students' books. So in reality, the $1,500 actually gets pocketed because all your expenses are paid for. So if they're having a little trouble financially, they know at least they've got $1,500 coming in that semester, and they don't have to worry about transportation. So if that might be a car note or food or, whatever.
Okay. Well, we have two people who have questions, And the way it's done is I only call out the last four of the phone number, and then I'll release your mic. And the first one up, phone number ending in 0483, your mic is live.
0483,
your area code is 619. Okay. We'll come back to them. So the next one is 4625. Last four is 4625. Your mic is live.
Yes, good evening, everyone. This is William Beck. And my question would be, does such a program, is there a similar program that can be injected directly into the black community instead of outside of the community?
Eventually, we will have the structure together to do it in our own community. But at this moment, no, we do not have it, but we do have the blueprints. Did that answer your question, brother?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. And all the key players to our program are black or African American and formerly incarcerated, so.
Awesome. Okay. We'll leave your mic open, 4625, if you can just mute it unless you have another question. I'm going to try again. Area code 619, last four, 0483. Your mic is live. Okay. Area code 248, last four, 1288. Your mic is live. One, two, eight, eight. Your mic is live.
Hi, this is Sincere.
Well, hello, Sincere.
Hey, Sister Sincere, how you doing?
All right, how everybody doing this morning?
Well, luckily for me, it hasn't reached morning yet, Sister, but you got a question for me? Our statement.
Hi, how you doing, Sister Sincere? It's Sister Zanzele.
Hey, how you doing? You got a little
I'm all right.
Are we on the radio talk show?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
you're live
this,
already.
This is live. This is on live air right now.
Oh, my Lord. No, I didn't have nothing to say. I was just going to listen in. But I didn't know. I guess I don't know what I'm doing.
That's all right.
That's all right. That's what we're here for, sister, to help you figure out what you're doing.
Well, but I know that I was doing some homework that was asked of me. I don't know if we have permission to talk about it here.
No, ma'am.
Okay. Well, then I'll wait until after what we can talk ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Well, I have
so
a question again.
So what's the subject today?
Well, the question I have is, what can we also do to kind of, in our own community, to break up this school-to-prison pipeline? What are some things that would be, easy is the wrong word, but that's the only one that comes to mind that we can do in case we don't have funding. What can we do?
What can we do? We can search the databases in our own communities to see which community-based organizations are out there and active, and we can lend our support to them, because by lending our support to them, we can learn the platform that they're using, study their program.
The background, we can hear you. There's a lot of background noise.
Is it? Can you?
Yes, okay. Yes, very loud. Okay.
Is it clear now?
Okay. Very.
I just muted my phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I was saying, we could always help out with other community-based organizations in our area. And
okay.
by doing that, we can learn who the players are in that field in our area, learn how they work, and utilize that to put our own programs in place in those areas. Because each state and each city and each county has different laws and regulations. So it's best to get with somebody who's already been in it, because every state and every county and city has some community-based organizations. As a matter of fact, they had a major convention just last week in Orlando, Florida, with all of the formerly incarcerated individuals who have CBOs or community-based organizations. So there's thousands upon thousands of these organizations. They're just not working as one coherent or cohesive unit.
Another thing to look at is we have to also look at the youth and working with them directly. You know, get out there into the school district and find out, you know, what's going on in your area. There's a lot of gentrification that's going on. Find out why. Why is that area being gentrified? Find the missing holes and pieces. See what these communities and families are in need of, and actually actively find ways to be able to fill those gaps.
Okay. I like it. Thank you. I appreciate it, both of you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Without no you, there's no we, and then without no we, there's no us.
I hear that. I hear that. Let's see. 0483, your mic is live. 0483. Okay, I guess they're just listening. Not a problem. Do you
I'm
have
surprised,
anything?
My good.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go
no,
ahead,
no,
sister.
No,
I was
you
saying
first.
I was. I'm surprised my good brother hasn't tapped into us.
Yeah, I was looking for him. I'm keeping an eye out for him. So,
uh-huh.
And it could be that it's not a good idea
yes.
to dial it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
Now I had a question. When you
come on.
Get in touch with these community-based organizations that's already up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what should I ask? Because I asked someone earlier, but I was asking like little questions, like, do they have anything for anybody who is coming home and that can help them to provide for themselves in society now that they come home. And it's like one thing I noticed is that a lot of my friends that come home, they know a little bit about computers like me, but they not really inclined like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they playing the catch-up game, but, like, they tend to get a little bit frustrated playing this catch-up game because what's going on is that they don't see much of the world and the world changing around them, and they don't know, you know, they don't know what's really going on until they get home and they see the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so I was asking, what is it that can help? And I noticed that in my city, it's really not much. Everybody depending on just the city, but the city don't got nothing for them to really depend on but transportation, mental health, and that's about it.
Now, one thing you can look into is you can go to the county, okay, and you can look into their Office of Education at programs and services. If you can't go online, you can physically go there and talk to them about programs that they have for parolees. Now, here's the deal. If they tell you, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, all we have is just transportation, okay, well, then that tells you what's missing. That tells you what we need to fill in.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And then I was looking for the book that you had showed me, I think it was the other night, last night or the other night, the blue book, dated 1993, I believe.
What book was that that I shared?
I can't remember the name of it, but it was dated, I think, 1993 or something like that. It was a blue book.
Okay.
So I had went to, well, my spots are limited right now. Once I be able to get into my car, it'll be a lot better. I got another about a week and a half to go, and I'll be in my vehicle.
Okay.
So, but I was looking for this book at Once a Million, but they didn't have it. So I was wondering, like, should I go to a like a library or something like that and see if I can purchase it out of there?
Oh, somebody, who's helping her with the book?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. Sister Kay, I'm sorry, I need to interrupt for a moment. Sister Kay?
Yes.
If you could look at a number that ends in 1924.
Yes.
And what number?
The number that ends in 1924.
Okay. Well, I don't have a number like that.
I'm doing count.
Brother Shakur is listening in. And his last four 1-9. I can't hear, Brother Muhammad.
No, I'm going to have to get some glass.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I hear your background.
Yeah. 1924 is the call-in number.
What's that, Sister Kay?
That's the call-in number, 1924.
Let's see here.
Well, if I can't
hear
my phone because I'm walking the next amount of traffic.
Okay. Let's see. Caller number ending in 0483. Your mic is live.
That ain't me.
Hello?
That's not the number I got.
Well, you're on the air now, brother. You're on the air now, brother. Just go.
Can you hear me?
You're talking to me?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Yes.
Okay, my question is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you, Brother Shakur.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, talking too, right? Come, I had a question.
Okay.
No?
Is it me you're talking to?
The floor is yours, Brother
Hello?
Shakur.
Comrade, you're live on the air. We're waiting on you.
I'm talking over somebody. You guys got to listen. Somebody keep asking a question. I'm talking over them.
You're not talking over on our end.
Okay, then just on my end, then. Okay,
yeah.
What's up? I didn't want
well,
to
you live on the air now.
Okay, yeah. I listen. Yeah. Hey, but one thing Sister Kay was talking about, right, as far as filling in them gaps, right, Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement is specifically designed to fill in them gaps. Because the existing programs, and that's not being critical of any other organization or movement. This is just an objective assessment. The existing program is not filling in them gaps because we still have a mass incarceration by young people. And we still have an influx of people coming to prison, then that means something in the community is not working. We can't ignore that. And that's constructive criticism and a constructive assessment of what's going on. We have a lot of organizations doing good work. Keep on doing the good work. But we are designed to fill in them gaps, because them gaps, a lot of our people are coming through them gaps. We have to look at the mass incarceration rate of our people. It is rapidly increasing in various states. So we have to look. Develop organizations, programs that are designed to fill in that gap.
Hey, Abdul. Hello. Yes, sir.
Abdul, I can hear somebody saying hello. I can hear somebody else talking.
We can't hear them.
No, I think it's your background.
No, I can hear him saying hello. He want to get on? What was that first one you say, zero something? Because mine is 1924. That's the number I was given.
That's the call-in number. The four digits she's calling off at the end are the four digits of their actual number.
Of your actual number.
I don't know if you guys can hear them, but somebody else is saying hello. I'm on the air.
We cannot hear them.
We can't hear them, so hopefully that person will just hold off on a minute until you're done.
You see, the number I got, 2K, right, is that's the only number I've seen. That's the only number that was sent to me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, but anyway, what I was saying is that we have to identify the gap. That's key. We don't want to duplicate the same program that exists already, because obviously those programs have not been affected. And that's just a critical assessment, but a positive assessment. These groups got a specific gap that they fill in. We have to fill in our gap. We have to make a collective assessment of each community and what programs are this in them communities. If you look at, say, Oakland, we still have an influx of brothers and sisters coming to prison. We still have an influx of brothers and sisters using drugs, selling drugs, gang violence. We still have those impacts. We still have an impact of women being abused by their men. We still have an impact of kids without a father. So all those programs in that area is obviously missing something. Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement is committed to filling in the gap. We encourage all other groups to continue to do what they do, and they're doing good work. We can learn from them, like Brother Abdul say. We can learn from them. Identify the key players, assess their success and failure, use that information to develop a program that will fill in the gap. By identifying the key players in these other different organizations and community programs, allows with all the information we need to develop our program that will fill in that gap. Because no matter where you look at, we have to be objective in our assessment. No matter what state you go to, what city you go to, there's major gaps, major holes, and a lot of our people are falling victim to those holes and gaps. We can't ignore it, especially when the end results are visible. Mass incarceration, gang violence. Just like when you look at Chicago, Chicago's on the path now, reaching another number of 700, 800 gang-related murders. But you have 10, 15 different programs in the community that's dedicated towards gang violence. But obviously, there's a gap there when you got 7,800 murders a year. We can't ignore that. We're not being critical about a different group and organization in Chicago, but we have to fill in that gap. Fill in that gap. Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement is about filling in the gap both inside and outside. When you go to the inside, you have a high rate of drug use among young brothers, high rate of gang violence among young brothers inside. So whatever programs that are available for them is not working. So you have a major increase of gang violence and drug-related violence in the prison. That's a fact. So obviously, whatever programs are being introduced to them, they're not participating in it, it's not attracting them. So we have to be able to develop programs, not because we see this program work, but we have to develop a program that's going to attract the gang member, going to attract the thug or the gangster. If you don't attract them, they're not going to participate. You have certain programs they had in the community. A lot of kids were going to those programs, but they wasn't gang members. The gang members wasn't showing up. The parolees wasn't showing up. The ex-cons wasn't showing up. Especially when these programs had connection with the government and law enforcement. we have to understand there's a trust factor. A lot of these young brothers and sisters don't trust law enforcement or the government. So if there's any connection and tie, they're not going to participate. That's one of the main problems we have across the country, the trust issue. We have to have programs in our communities based on love and understanding, opposed to pointing your finger and preaching at them. But letting them know we're not going to just help them, we're going to help their family.
Right. Need to understand that this is a family that we're creating.
Yes. And again, like you just said, it is a family. We are a family, and we must understand. We must go back to who we are originally, right? So we live in society where the country keeps us divided. So when there was incarcerating our young people, most of the elders turned the other cheek. They were no part of it. That's because of the gang violence in our community as well. But they have used these different constitutions to keep us divided. And as long as we're divided, they're able to perpetuate this program that is responsible for the mass incarceration of our people, the self-destruction that's taking place in our community, for drug abuse, unsafe sex, all these things and ills that exist in our community. Have me no respect, no doubt. But pointing the finger at them, I'm not going to solve them, because they still exist. And in some of these illness even has increased in the last 5-10 years. So, again, we have to assess it and analyze that and be true. If we intrude, we intrude the community. So a lot of the programs in our community is not working. Bottom line, look at the results. But we have to learn from these other community groups, because there's some success and there's failures in there. So we learn from them. Some of these groups have been doing this for 10, 15 years. So we learn from them. We will also learn from what not to do. And based on our own assessment, being that I'm in prison, being that Abdul been here, meaning that we got a couple of comrades that have been in prison for years, we understand the mindset of the gangster and the criminal better than anyone. We know what they're attracted to. So our program that we develop, the institution that we develop, is based on that understanding and comprehension. Anything else? Anybody have anything to say?
You touched on it pretty good there. I wish we could find that brother who's trying to get on so we could catch his question.
Yeah. That's why I was telling the truth and I was talking over here.
Yeah, but we still couldn't hear him.
Yeah, and you know that number she first gave, I think that's the number he got as well, because I'm hearing that.
Well, that's the number we all have.
No, see, that's the only number I got, 1924. That's the only number I received.
Hey, that's the only one all of us received. What I was saying, the numbers that she was... Listen, brother, the numbers that she was calling out, the last four are individuals, the last four of those individuals' cell phone numbers.
They're personal.
We all have... Yeah, that's their personal numbers. We all have the 1924. That's the only one to call in on.
Let me look. What was the last four? When she was calling? Oh man, okay. My bad, Kay.
You're okay. I got you.
My bad.
You're good.
You should have yelled out 4-0-4-8-3.
Yeah. You need to tell me that was you the whole time. That was I'm so done with you. Brother Shakur has been here the whole time. Yes, he has.
I've been listening to you guys. Every time you yell at this number, I said, I don't know what they're talking about. I keep hearing you can't say these numbers, okay? Whatever that means.
I love it.
I'm lost. Is Maurice here too?
No, nobody else.
Anyway, what I said is, right? People are saying that we are still in the development process, right? And our development process, again, is based on what we want to do. We don't want to make the same mistake other groups and movements make. We learn from the original Black Prison Rights Movement. The original Black Prison Rights Movement did not have no structures. And it was effective in getting the message out. It was effective in creating new leadership for the community. We're not for the Black Prison Rights Movement. We're never going to hurt. Blacks was influenced by W. Notes. All these Howard Tubman. So he was influenced by them. That's why he joined the struggle. Him and James Carr. So I'm saying, if you look at Angela Davis, Angela Davis' connection is with George and Jonathan Jackson. But not for that connection, not many would have heard of who Angela Davis was. Same with Bunchy Carter. That was your people. It was all produced by the California. It provided the community with leadership, ideals, also began to organize brothers to prison. There was no law again. There was no structure. So when you assassinated our leaders, there was no one there to replace them. There was no structure. The outside fell apart, the inside fell apart. Those lessons learned. Once you have a structure, no matter what happened to that one individual, organization still exists. Organization movement not going to be dependent on one person. Back then, it was. Depending on one or two or three people. You can't do that. We cannot survive as far as longevity like that. What we're doing, any one of us can take over and lead this movement. We have multiple individuals just as qualified. So we're not dependent on that one individual. And we have structure. So if somebody is removed, there's somebody just as qualified. So this here breeds, or this say continuity, longevity. And that's what it takes to win this struggle. We have this longevity will allow us to develop effective programs, to review these programs, make constant assessment of the success and failure until we find the right ingredient. Now, what I want to do is this here, right? Hey, Abdul.
Huh? Yes, sir.
Abdul, I wanted to have Marcelli speak to him. Marcelli, he's dealing with the community development aspect, right? You hear me, Sister Kay?
Yeah.
Then Marcelli?
I hear you.
All right. Hey, Abdul. Hey, sir. What's going on?
Were you live on the air there, Comrade Joker?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. What I wanted to say was, in order for us to effectively end the poverty, the school, the prison pipeline, we have to address that contradiction in the source. That's the primary contradiction. The underdevelopment, destabilization of our community. Until such time as we address that core contradiction, there will be no effective response to the mass incarceration of our people, no effective response to the systematic oppression of our people. The manner in which we do that cannot be linked in any way, shape, or form to our oppression. What I mean by that is, saying who to think that that solution is going to produce such an effect that our collective oppression is abated. It's not going to happen. We have to do it ourselves. That means we must develop an autonomous infrastructure where we can feed, clothe, house, employ, educate ourselves, by ourselves, with ourselves. And that's going to take work. The reason it's going to take such an enormous amount of work is because, as it stands right now, by and large, those institutions don't exist in our community. By and large, our communities aren't communities. They divide. Our children are worn.
Yes.
Our brothers and sisters, they're not united. You got neighbors that don't, that ain't never spoke to their neighbors. And that's
true.
A recipe for the perpetuation of exploitation. The manner in which we can address that is by, and with the community, developing comprehensive community development initiatives that are precursors to institutions. I believe we already possess the necessary blueprints, be it Operation Hip Hop Rescue, be it the Sustainable Agricultural Commune, be it the Closed Circuit Economic Initiative, be it the New African Math and Science Center Initiative. We already possess the necessary blueprints to address these core contradictions and begin to develop the necessary autonomous infrastructure that will be the precursor to transfer culture. And when I speak of transfer culture, I'm talking about developing within our community a new basis upon which we relate to one another in a productive system. One where we are transferring from a nation that is subjected to being a colonized nation within a nation
nation acting in its own interest. Right now, we're not acting in our own interest. We're acting in the interest of our enemy.
Right.
When I was, we were developing the community self-defense protocol in the community safe zones initiative. And we was developing those two initiatives. Two things starkly jumped out at us. One, primary contradiction we face is lack of unity. Our people are not united. And two, our enemy exploits this at every level of social organization. I don't care if it's within education or just basic security. They exploit these two facts. With that in mind, what we, each and every initiative that we employ has to be predicated upon community participation, meaning the people become their own liberators. In so doing, you move the people's core psychology away from dependence to independence. When they actually see the work product of their own hands begin to reap the benefits of their own labor, I can guarantee you it's going to be a core transforming experience. Or as George said, it's shocking. Events in each one of our lives, the living moment could thrust us into a revolutionary counteroffensive. Well, it's the dialectic to that. And that's where we see success. Oftentimes, people want more. So what we are effective in establishing our community development initiative, people will want to support us even more because it's in their interest. The people are always going to do what's in their interest.
Right.
It's my belief that once we have the necessary state and local level, our national structure is already solid. Once we have the necessary structures at the state and local level, we can begin the difficult process of implementation. It's going to be a difficult process because it has to begin with education. And one of the things that a lot of these other activist groups, a lot of these other progressive groups are not having the degree of success that they would like is because they fail to understand that people's attitudes is reflective of their conditions. So they're not addressing what the people need, they're addressing what they think the people need. And this is what Comrade meant by learning from the people to teach the people. You got to learn from the people. That way we can, as the comrade was saying earlier, we can find out which gap needs to be filled. Because there could be brothers out there doing really good work in a particular area, but because that work is not comprehensive, because it's not interconnected, there's so many other gaps that that work they're doing ain't necessarily having no definitive results. The results are negative. It's because they feel to see that these problems do not exist in isolation. Each one of these contradictions is interconnected. And within that interconnection lies our role. Our approach must be one which addresses this interconnectedness. I mean, we have to have a comprehensive approach, a systematic approach. I believe we got that. I don't think no other organization of our life and time has the community development model that we have.
Right. Well, brother, what we're doing right now is working at the state level, you know, and then moving it down to the cities and local level to be able to make some of these blueprints come into effect into the community. Like we said, like Brother Shakur said, right now we're at the developmental stage, and, you know, we had these blueprints available to us, and it's just a matter of acting upon it.
Exactly. And, like Conrad is always saying, like y'all always saying, it's about action, implementation, actually doing.
Yeah. At this point, I think the community is tired of rhetoric and really looking for people to put some boots on the ground and actually make these things happen. And that's the type of people that we're looking for. Everybody has an opportunity to talk and tell us what's wrong and what we should do and could do. Well, we need people actually willing to make it happen.
That part.
Yeah.
I believe
understanding material dialectic as I do and being privy to some of these backroom conferences that I've been to, there is the decisiveness that you're talking about. But luckily I've been trained up and I know how to manipulate the peoples and play chess instead of checkers. That's what the people have to start looking at, as far as no one has to know who the real us are as revolutionaries in this movement. And that rhetoric will get us nowhere. And when I started off the program, I said that I was a professional revolutionary. I'm not speaking that rhetoric. You know what I'm talking about, brother. I'm running around with a gun and all that. We want people to know that this movement here, we are involved in no criminality. If anybody says any of us are dealing drugs, got guns, or any of that, they are lying, because we have nothing to do with any of that. We're going to rebuild this community from the inside out. And it's like anything else, and I'm not bringing my religion into it. Somebody told me the other day about this movement that I was crazy. And I said, well, 1,400 years ago, they called another brother crazy, and there's 1.7 billion followers of his now. So I'm going to keep on being crazy. I don't know about y'all.
Right, all right.
I'm going to keep on being crazy about my people. And you can continue on, Comrade Joker. I just wanted to interject that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But piggyback on what you just said, bro. Comrade is absolutely right when he speaks to the assessment of dialectical materials in my consciousness. We can take what currently exists on the ground in our communities and use that as the catalyst for every initiative that we've already developed. Because the contradiction is so stark. It's not something that can be avoided because it glares at our people in every area of people's activity every day. So I don't believe it will be difficult after some of these solutions. Just the thing we have to keep in mind is community participation and indigenous leadership, meaning we pull people from that community to be part of these initiatives in a leadership role. That has to be modus operandi. That's the way we got to go about doing it. But that way we will be effective, as opposed to a lot of these organizations who like to come from the outside and try to, you know, basically talk down to the people and dictate, you know, this, that, and the third, as opposed to listening to the people and working and building with them. What y'all think?
Come on, hey, brother. You just getting warmed up.
Comrade, but I appreciate this opportunity, brothers and sisters, and we're definitely going to be building together. Right now, I'm finishing my portion of the manifesto. Community Development Initiative Protocol right on the heels of this. I'm going to get this to the comrade right now. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Sakitu.
Just okay.
Hey, one thing I also want to add this here, right? Over one of the reasons why our community has not been receptive to the present prison rights movement, because the present prison rights movement totally ignores conditions on the ground within our community. When you have these white activists who come to our community talking about support prisoners, you guys remember they talking to people who are constantly witness of gang violence every day. Witness drug-related violence every day. And you're telling that same person to support the same individual who's perpetuating part of the ill that is destroying our community. The average brother and sister is not going to participate in that. I don't want them back out here. So this is why the principles of reciprocity is imperative towards our success and development. So now you're telling the community, yes, we want him back out there, but he's going to be committed to helping the system you tools to do the drive-by shoot down the street. That's the distinction, the reciprocity. The present prison rights movement do not base their principles on that. Okay? So it's facilitating the fuel to steal that pipeline. You ain't stopping it. Better in prison conditions for them to live in, and you're not getting our community involved. And that's critical, community involvement. But you have to be able to speak a language that they can understand and comprehend. You can't go to our community with that same speech you give in the white community. Yeah, support us, and we won't help prisoners. So the community saying, wait a minute, why am I going to help a thug for it? So you can can do a drive-by shooting, kill my little daughter. That's what we have to be critical at. We have to be fully comprehending what the community need and want. That's why when we talk to the community, we saying, yeah, but we got brothers and sisters that we focusing on that has committed their life to the struggle, has committed to giving back to the community. I guarantee you the community will be more receptive to that approach than the present approach. You hear me?
I hear you, brother.
All right. Abdu? Brother Abdu?
Yes, sir. I had mine on my phone on mute. As a little background. But, yeah, I got you. Loud and clear.
And sort of thing, too, like the comrade was saying, what we about to do ain't been done. Because we talking about inside and outside, a connection. We have friends for the inside and outside. And what we about to do, I mean, and it can be done. We don't need no white organization, like the other brothers that were suggesting. We don't need nobody to do this for us or to aid and assist us. We understand our people and condition better than anybody. And what I'm saying, what we about to do. Go ahead, sis.
No, what I was going to say, it's just a matter of using skill sets within the individuals within our community. You know, like we, you know, were mentioning before, it doesn't matter whether, you know, you're a janitor or you're a teacher or a lawyer, or it doesn't really matter because that same person may have programs or information.
Yeah. See, there was a time where we wouldn't even try to get a parole officer in the movement. And that's stupid because a parole officer can help facilitate the process of getting brothers and sisters off parole. Instead of the parole officers we have now, that's to bring us back to prison quick. We need lawyers. We even need a judge up there that will judge fairly. And not always trying to throw our people in prison. We need social workers that have our best interests. We need brothers and sisters in the military. We made a mistake back in the 60s and 70s and parts of the 80s of only focusing on those on the street. And you see where that got us.
Right.
This is a thinking game here. And we need every brother and sister from street smart to book smart. Huh?
I was saying it's a collective of the black community in general.
Yes, it's collective. So maybe book smart or street smart. We need everybody that is able, that's committed to building our community, preparing for our future, to be involved. And each role, each skill set is important towards that. We have to look at this here. That's why I don't debate with other groups, debate with individuals. Because all I do, and I do this, and my comrades know this, I tell them to tell people one thing. They say, what's that? Tell them to look out their window. Honestly, look out their door, and you tell me what they see. Because when you see the reality, ain't no time to be debating. Something ain't right. Look at your community, and you tell me what you see. Poverty, despair, distress, violence, drugs. How are you going to argue that? I don't need to argue with nobody. When the community and the condition of the community going to speak for itself. Mass incarceration by young people going to speak for itself. In prison, you got young brothers using meth more than anybody now. I ain't arguing with nobody. Hey, here you go right here. This is my argument right here. The reality of the conditions on the ground is my reality. We still, in our community right now, the majority of the homes in our community is owned by outsiders. Who won't dispute that? No one can dispute that. At least some communities, 99.98% owned by outsiders. The majority of businesses in our community is owned by outsiders.
We need to be responsible for our own community.
Yes, and that's the point I'm making. You can't dispute these statistical facts. So I'm saying in order to be responsible, we have to pull our resources together and begin to buy them homes. Establish our own businesses, run them other businesses out of our community. That's being responsible. We have to pull our resources together, teach our people about economics, teach our people about business, and the importance of collective entrepreneurship. And what I mean by collective entrepreneurship, not every, but most businesses in our community should be about the community. They should be owned by the community. They have economics. That's collective work and responsibility from its true sense, not what Kwanzaa have bastardized. If we say collective work and responsibility, that means each of us work for a unified purpose. Corporate economics means we're incorporating our economics for our purpose. If I have a business, I'm going to make sure that community members also have a piece of that business because the profit is going back to the community. And make sure those who work in that business is having a living wage, not slave wages. and funds from that business were going to the social programs that are benefiting our community. Our plan is to replace those businesses that don't belong to us.
Right.
The liquor stores, the grocery stores. That's why you go to the community, you rarely find fresh fruits and vegetables in the stores in our community, but you find a bunch of liquor and cigarettes.
And we have people that manage these stores, but yet, you know, they can actually provide the information on how to make this run.
Exactly.
That part right there.
Yeah, you have a lot of sisters who know how to do nails and foot better than any Asian. Yeah, we'll go straight to the Asian salon and give me a pedicure. You have sisters right in the hood that are struggling, and their work is just as high quality as any of them Asian girls. But yet, you go to them Asian folks, get disrespected, some get hit and choke out. But yet, we have sisters and brothers in the neighborhood. Everybody's not better. And we invest our dollars in them, we can increase the quality of their business with more resources available to them. All this is a matter of.
And then all they need is businessmen and businesswomen that are in the community to tell them how to get it off the ground. They already have the skills to be able to do the work. They just need somebody else in the community to say, here's what you got to do. You go file this, go do that, and let's make this happen.
And that's why it's important for us to understand that this is a collective system. Back in the days, we cheated the community by denying them that qualified individual. We don't want the business people around. There are many brothers in business and sisters in business that sympathize and empathize with the community and want to do something for the community. But they'll be called a coon, Rick and Uncle Tom, not even knowing who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Identify
and most of the time
sisters,
they want to help the community, they just don't know how.
They don't know how. You know. And another thing we're going to work on, too, when you got brothers and sisters in school, because that brother and sister want to get an education, that don't make him a nerd or a geek. That's what you go to school for, to get an education. We should try
that's
to
what,
do something positive. Go ahead, my brother.
That's what I just, you know, I was telling you about that. I was speaking about the Umosha conference that hopefully I be brought down to is becoming walking role models, turning
education and
all that into something cool, to age myself, something hip. You know what I mean?
Yes, that people
instead
can look
of,
up to.
Because we're the forerunners of all popular culture. So if we make those things look cool, they're going to follow lead. They're going to follow right behind us. We have to stop being scared to step on out and say, look, man, this is what I'm doing. You know, when I, on my Fridays when I go through Juma, I stop in my little hood, and I'm at the halal store. I call the little shooters and say, hey, little bro, big bro in the hood. Now, I'm not going to come down the block with y'all, but y'all can come down to the halal store, and we can chop it up. And what you doing, big bro? And I tell them, well, this is what I got going on. Anybody want to do something right? And then, you know, I ask them every now and then, hey, man, can y'all get them suckers a pass today? Now,
you
I don't know.
Right.
They might just feel it that day and say, man, Big Bro said, man, don't shoot today. So
that's
what we have to do. That's what we have to do. And we have to stop being scared of our children because they're our children.
Somebody's
trying to say something right now.
Go ahead.
I said at the same time, we can't alienate ourselves from the community.
Never.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I'm a Muslim as well, but that don't stop me from going in the hood and speak to the people.
Exactly.
Yeah, but my current situation, what I was saying was, I can't go in the hood. I'm on parole. But I can't be at the halal store that's in the hood and tell them to come holler at me. I can't go anywhere where there's drugs or guns involved because, you know, old brother Abdul gone up the river. Because as soon as them people come through there, they ain't going to say that I'm in the community saying something good. The first gun they find, it's going to be Big Bruh. I'm the oldest one on the block. You know, that's what I'm saying. No, we never alienate ourselves, though.
Now,
but we have to always think structurally.
trying to make this look cool, you know, just a little tidbit, as I was talking to a 11-year-old little brother the other day and told him about what was going on and what I was involved in the community. And this little brother said, "Oh, man, that's like being a superhero for black people." I said, "All right."
That's me right there, that boy.
You remember Danny Suggs was sitting there on the conference that day, and he was listening?
Uh-huh.
And how he was out of a particular situation, and he was impressed in how he felt, because he never seen that before. But not only is it a reflection of Zenzele raising that man, but also with him. And when he seen us, he heard us talking, he was saying. So I'm saying, in terms of, once he had to understand, Brother Abdul's on parole. If he goes down there, he can talk. So I'm saying, his refusal going to that community, that's alienation. But to be right here for the man again. So we have to understand that before those brothers and sisters can't go to the hood, we insist that they go to the hood. And we can't alienate ourselves from the people. We are part of the people.
We are the people.
Yeah, and it's no different than what we're talking about here in terms of reciprocity. When you have brothers and sisters in prison who do everything they can to transform, everything they can to get back to the community, and the community supports them, that's making that cool, because when all the other brothers and sisters see that, oh, man, the community supports him. He's doing things legitimately and got things more than we do. If that's the trap and bait we have to use to get them there, then that's the trap and bait we use. Because now, okay, I'm going to stop messing with drugs. I'm going to stop doing this because I want the same thing he wants. Understand it now, you have to work for it. You have to earn it. You have to transform that criminal thug mindset. You have to earn it. When you do that, the community will support you. And now you're going to feel a sense of community now. And oftentimes, when you have that sense of community, you value that. And you rarely destroy something that you value. If you look in our community now with community and all that stuff, our young people and people in general do not value that community. This is really not our community. Once you learn how to value something, you respect that and you go fight for it. A lot of our young people have not respected community. They have no sense of community. The program that we implement to get the community involved. Sisters in prison, but brothers and sisters in prison in general, folks. When it comes to the female prison, man, they rarely get support. They are the most neglected. But we're going to put a full attention on our women. That's going to blow their minds. They're going to feel the love. And they're going to be surprised. They're going to realize they never had this before. A lot of these brothers do the same thing when they realize the community is in support of them. If we're going to support you, support the community. And one of the things you can do to support the community, get rid of that gangster mentality, man. Get rid of that thug mentality. Don't get you a pump. And what I'm saying, so that is important in our movement and organization, because we will be based on the same policy. There's no way out of it. Everyone has to play a role. Everyone will be accountable for their lack of playing a role. No one going to sit back and say, okay, I don't have to do nothing. Not here. Not in this organization, not in this movement. We all won't be accountable for our role, you know. And again, like I said, we have the right program, and we have the right people in place to get more people in place to get a job done. And these radio shows and programs, we're going to get it right. This is the first one. We're going to get the basic gist of what we're trying to do, and the more we get involved with these programs, the more it's going to come out of here. I'm going to start promoting it, too. And we all going to start promoting it more, get more people involved, and also tell people, this call, you know, ask a question. Don't ask a question, you know. Get involved, participate, don't be shy, you know. And then, if you don't know your own cell phone number, learn your cell phone number. Because I didn't know it. Hey, Sister K. See, and you can't be creeping away either.
I'm right here.
Zayla.
You got it?
I'm listening. I'm right here.
How about Zayla?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, sis. You guys sound like Kay. You guys all sound like.
Time.
I was about to say, like, we all look like. We all sound like. Yeah.
We all won.
Yeah, we all. And hey, what's the Muslims in that?
The other brother that's on the line, which
It's William X. Loose ends?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. This is Abdul Shakur.
Big brother, I know who you are.
Okay. Hey, what do you think so far? What do you think so far, my brother?
Well, I didn't hear you. You broke up. Could you repeat that?
He said, what do you think so far?
I like the sounds of everything. I mean, you know, it's got to be a multi-approach, you know. I mean, not one point of view or one idea is going to make this work. It has to be implemented from all angles, just like a test case. I mean, you know,
yes,
even
sir.
Though I might
yes,
not
sir.
Agree with certain aspects, that's because I do my work in a different area, you know, so
yes, sir.
Where Brother Abdul might do his at the masjid, I do mine in the hood, you know, with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we all got our different roles we play. And, I mean,
yes, sir.
It's got to work.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And each of the programs is flexible enough to apply according to the conditions on the ground. I'm in prison. You got to do out there. Right here. My approach to these brothers in prison will be different than your approach out there. Like
yes, sir.
I was saying to one person before, my approach in here going to be a little harder because I'm dealing with hardheads. So my approach is going to be different. I'm going to shut his ass up and sit down. Because you have to be hard in here. It's a nice place. So my approach to my brothers in here going to be totally different. So what you say, brother, is no point, you know? You know, it's going to be diverse.
Because I was saying, because that we're doing that, brother. That's by design, because we want everybody
exactly.
from all facets. Because me and
exactly.
Big Brother, we're from the same organization, but I'm going above ground while others are going to be staying below ground.
Exactly.
It's no longer my function to be underground. So
exactly.
We're gonna be on all facets. Every way, every which way we can, and me knowing the climate here where I'm at, I know that I have to stay away from those areas because that's going to be the only area that the enemy can attack. Some of us is to say that we in the hood doing things that we don't have nothing to do with.
Yeah, see, I remember too when we was having one of them chats, right? And you mentioned parole officers, right? And brother,
mm-hmm.
Hey, wait a minute. I pull Larry to the side and say, hey, don't you think we need parole officers that think like us, that feel like us, who's committed to helping us? Don't you think we need parole officers like that? Don't you think we need conflict parole officers so they can help facilitate the process? Because a lot of these parole officers, they're committed to bring us back to prison. We need parole
yes.
in the committed to closing down that pipeline.
Yes. We had proof of that when the comrade in Texas had the issue with the Klan. It was black
yeah.
sheriffs that came to their aid.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for them black sheriffs, it would have been a different outcome.
Exactly. You know, and the thing, so we have, if we talking about building the nation, that means we're gonna have brothers and sisters on every level in that nation. From judges
yeah.
to attorneys to business people. We made that mistake during the 60s and 70s just trying to build from the ground. And damn near everybody had a police record or damn near about to get a police record. It cannot function. We learned from that mistake. And this is what I tell people here. I tell people this here. It has nothing to do with religion. And I've always
no.
used it to take, and this is what I'm saying. Take the religion part out of it and study the Nation of Islam. The religion part of it, the Nation of Islam. Why do you think the nation have been able to sustain itself for damn 50, 60 years? May you agree with Islam or not? I'm not talking about the religion. I'm talking about structuring. I'm talking about discipline.
Yeah.
I'm talking about economics. You can learn from that. And that's when you are being subjective, you can't learn nothing. You learn from being objective. nothing to do with you compromising with that particular belief system. Even when you look at the business, the white business structure, separate from capitalism and function and analyze what they're doing. You'll find success in all of that. And we can apply it according to our reality. That's why I always tell brothers and sisters, just separate the Islam from the Nation of Islam, just for your analyzation. How are they able to sustain themselves all these years? Look at your program, look at your businesses. So just do it from an objective standpoint and learn the lessons. Because that's what we have to do. Establish our own businesses. Establish our own schools. Own them businesses and own them schools. We have to do that. We have to create our own hospitals and doctor offices. We have to do that. That's where that anonymous infrastructure comes in and play. We have to develop our anonymous infrastructure, our own program. And this is what this movement is about. Just like we can rely on the government to change the way our brothers and sisters in prison think. We have to do that ourselves. If you look at all our great leaders coming out of these prisons, from George to W. Nolan, even when you look at Dr. Colin, Dr. King, the government didn't create that. Our program that we ran to develop created those brothers, produced them brothers and sisters. So there's a lot that we have to do. Yes, am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what else we got on the table right now, okay?
Right now, everyone has basically spoken, and it is up to the two co-hosts. Where we're going now?
All right, Ms. Zayla.
I'm here.
All right. I know you're here. You want to put some on the table, or you want to say something?
No, not at this time. I believe, you know, listeners understand what we're looking for, you know, what we're about, and they can reach out to us on Facebook through the Chronicles page with the Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement Chronicles. Get on there.
Yes. Where we at, Abdul?
Oh, okay. I was just thinking about our next one, our next show, and I'm going to get us a guest or two that are in the prison reform field, some formerly incarcerated individuals. I was thinking about there's a brother that's interviewing me tomorrow for a justice reform documentary, and but 4 years ago he was serving a life sentence, and he's a George Soros fellow now, so he's got a fellowship from George Soros, the billionaire, to produce some documentaries in the next year, and that's they basically gonna fund his whole life for the next year. So I'm gonna talk to that brother tomorrow and see if we can solidify him to come and speak for, you know, come on here and speak for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think we've encapsulated everything we need to about the movement at this time.
7 o'clock Friday then, right?
Yes, sir.
And my phone number is, AK?
Yes.
We got you, guys. The last four is 0.83.
Oh, yeah, I got you. You got it all right.
remind me of again next week if I forget.
Okay.
What I would like to say, though, in this next week, for all of us on our timelines to promote the radio show so we can really start expanding our listening base.
Yeah, I've been doing that. Like 2-3 days, and mm-hmm. I'm gonna come over with some other. I got some other brothers, and then I got the George Jackson radio show too, right? I'm gonna have contacts mm-hmm. over there, and I'm gonna get at G2 Sadiq and them down in LA too.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna talk to Mary from the Bayview. Go ahead.
Well, now that we know kind of how it's gonna roll, I think promoting this will be a lot easier now.
Yeah, we just wanted to really work. I really wanted to work the kinks out before I told a whole bunch of people to listen to me. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
So yeah, this was a good eye opener.
Yeah.
I'm gonna critique myself and I'll make sure next week I'm gonna be a little bit more prepared. I've got some blueprints from me being in those back rooms with some numbers from the probation department that I'm gonna pour over, and I hit them with a little bit more facts and figures next Friday.
Yeah.
All right, folks.
Brother William Mack.
Well, with that, I believe we can close out the show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, I will see you guys next week. You said next Friday.
Next Friday, 7 p.m. Be there or be square.
All right.
All right. One love.
Black
One love.
All right now.